Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. Today I chat with a runner and coach with four marathons under her belt, each of them completely unique. Her first marathon she ran 100% virtual, second marathon her fuel strategy didn't work, third marathon it snowed, and finally her fourth marathon she was able to run the race she had been hoping for. There's a ton of insight about mindset, knowing when to prioritize rest and recovery, and how to dial in a fuel strategy that works for you. So whether you're an experienced runner or a beginner, you're going to find something from this one for sure. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome Maria. Maria, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I hope your weekend's off to a good start so far. I'm really excited to walk through your journey today.
Wonderful. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And summer finally showed up this weekend. So yeah, the weekend's off to a good start because the sun is shining. So can't complain.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. Well, I know you've got four marathons under your belt. So I'm excited to kind of break down your how you got into the running world originally, and then kind of like what's changed since then. But to start, how did you get involved in running in the first place?
Yeah. So I have run on and off quite a bit, like basically my whole life, you know, track and things like that in high school, but that was more just for the social aspect. And then basically when we moved to this, to Amory in 2019, it's a pretty small town. I didn't have access anymore to the climbing gym, that I was going to. And that was kind of my thing at the time. So I wanted to switch focuses. So I was like, well, I'll just run and see how it goes. And you know, in the past it had been a lot of like, not running at all. And then I'll sign up for a 5K and running a ton and either getting burned out or injured. So when we moved here, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be really patient and cautiously optimistic and try to do this running thing for real. And yeah, kind of just tried to be consistent and signed up for a half marathon that October and had so much fun and was hooked after that. Going through that training block where I didn't get burned out or injured, you know, it was really addicting.
So, yeah.
Yep. So then it just kind of evolved from there. And, you know, 2020, you know, January 2020, I think everyone was like, this is my year. And so for me, it was my year to run. And then as things started to get canceled, I was kind of like, you know, this isn't stopping me. It was almost like a challenge. Like, hey, COVID, you can't stop me from running. You know? Right. So I did another half marathon. It was a virtual, and then decided to do a marathon. You know, we still weren't sure if things were going to be canceled. So I signed up for the Eau Claire Marathon, which is usually held in the spring. So they pushed it off to October 2020. That was canceled. So I ended up running my first marathon as a virtual marathon around.
Oh, wow.
Amory. Yeah.
Wow. So you got a in-person half marathon experience and then a virtual half marathon and then a virtual marathon experience, all kind of back to back. For like the half marathon distances, what was the difference between like running your first one in person and then running your second one virtually?
Well, the second one was fun because by that time I had made some running friends here, so I really wasn't alone. So that was nice. And that half marathon was the Eau Claire Marathon half, and they ended up having crews drive around in their van and driving to different cities where they knew groups of people were running, and came by at some point and cheered for us. And so, you know, we kind of felt like rock stars, and it was good because I wasn't alone. You know, I had the community, which was awesome. So, and at that time I was still just so stoked on running that I wasn't going to not do it. It wasn't a big deal. It was just fun.
That's cool that they all came out and showed up for you guys like that for virtual. And I feel like that's like kind of not unheard of. I know a lot of local races will do their best, but I heard a lot of like horror stories in 2020 of people running their marathons without any support and doing things like that. So that's great that they were able to show up for you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. So I guess where did we get from the like 0 point or maybe like a little bit of fitness to the half marathon point? Were you like following a certain plan to get to that point, or like how did we get there?
Yeah, so I use a basic training plan. I don't know if you've ever heard of Another Mother Runner. So they have a book called Train Like a Mother, and they have different plans in there for all distances from 5K to a marathon. And so I basically just started working my way through that. And I had never really done that before. I kind of made up my own thing before that. So I think that that really helped with the right balance. And then also with as far as I would just wake up, see what I had to do that day, check it off the list, and realize that that worked really well for me, that I really enjoyed that part of having a training plan. So that those were the plans that I used to start.
Cool. And then was it like a couple times a week, like 3, 4 times a week that you were running for the most part, and then like a long run on the weekend, or what did it look like?
I would say probably at least 4 days a week, with a long run and a little bit of speed work. I think that they have descriptions and things in there, but there's like tempo runs and stuff. And I think the word tempo kind of that we lose people when we use the word tempo, because we're like, what does that mean? But tell me exactly what that pace is. And I don't know if I was doing it right. You know what I mean? When I look back, I'm like, I don't know if I did those speed workouts right, but I did them. I did a lot of it. So I think that that helped as well, to just have some strength as far as speed work in the training plan, which I really hadn't done before.
No, that's great. I don't hear very often that people like get into speed work that quickly, like training for a half marathon instead of a full. So I think that's great that you got into it so quickly, kind of like got the trial and error of it all probably out of the way in the beginning.
You learn a lot from those speed workouts.
For sure, for sure. Well, cool. So had your first marathon or half marathon experience, had your second half marathon experience. When did you decide, okay, I like this running thing, now I'm gonna go ahead and sign up for the full?
After that virtual half marathon, the second one, I was like, this is so much fun. I'm definitely doing a marathon. Because at that time, we had already known that Eau Claire was going to do an in-person marathon. They thought they were going to, and they were going to push it to the fall. So I was like, I'm in, I'm doing the marathon. And yeah, so that day, I called a friend and was like, I'm doing the
So
marathon.
pretty immediate. You were ready to go. Were you looking up like similar training plans to what you did for the half marathon, or what were you thinking in terms of like strategy for the marathon?
So I continued to work through that book. Which was nice, because I just got used to their style of programming. It worked really well for my schedule. And again, their vocabulary and how they describe speed workouts and things like that, it was just really familiar. So it was pretty natural to move from their half marathon plan to their marathon plan. So
Cool.
that worked out well.
And I know things got like shaky and ended up getting pushed off and all of that when race day came around, but originally when you thought you had, had the same timeline to run it, like how long was the plan built for?
Like the length of the training plan. Yeah, I think it's a 20-week plan. So it's a
20.
18 to 20 weeks. Yeah. It's pretty long. Which I think is good for beginners, because you don't really know what kind of base mileage somebody has. So I think that that worked out well. And if I would have done something shorter, I probably would have had an even harder experience with it, I think. So.
Well, you hear injuries a lot too. I feel like with the shorter plans, where especially in the beginning, you ramp up mileage a little too quickly and you end up hurting yourself. And so, yeah, I think that's great to really stretch it out for your first one. So how did training go? Like, wait, were there any high points that you remember? Any low points that you remember for your first marathon? What did all that look like?
I think that, again, I was still just so stoked to be running, that it was a lot of fun. I can't say that there weren't lows, because I think that there just always are, especially because this was still within the first year of me running consistently. So I still was learning a lot. And those double digit runs start to just get hard, I think, not just physically, but emotionally as well. And you do start to question a little bit Why am I doing this? Why am I out here for 2 hours or 2.5 hours? And, you know, I have my family at home and I'm missing breakfast with them or things like that. So I think that that definitely came up, probably more than the physical struggles. And then, you know, if any physical struggles, I think that the emotional side of it comes up, you know, starts to creep up again.
Totally. Yeah. The mental stuff is, I think it's just something that people don't expect maybe from your first marathon training experience. You expect the physical stuff, obviously, to be what's capturing most of your time. But I 100% agree. I think that you process a lot when you're out there by yourself for a few hours. So that makes total sense to me. What do you like, or if you remember, what do you tell yourself when you hit, you know, like a mental barrier or a low point in training? What do you typically tell yourself to kind of pull yourself out of that?
I think that especially, well, I think at that time I didn't really know what to do. Now it's more about like, if I have those moments, then I'm like, I'm probably tired and I need to get good rest and I'll see how I feel tomorrow. You know? So, I think trying to stop the, spiral of why am I doing this? Should I be doing this? Am I cut out for this? Is, just put the brakes on and save that conversation for later, you know, come and revisit it, go get some rest, hydrate, eat something, and think about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I love that. I love how you said that too. Just like trying to limit the spiral of the whole thing. That's 100% what happens is you have one thought that turns into another thought and then all of a sudden it's all overwhelming. And so that's great. So cool. So at what point in training did you know that the marathon was probably going to get pushed? Like what mileage were you at that point?
It had to be August or September. The marathon ended up being in September. I was already pretty deep into it. So I should also add, I was doing it as a fundraiser. I had decided to do a fundraiser for a friend of mine. And so that was motivating as well. So it wouldn't have mattered when it turned from in-person to virtual. I wasn't going to not run the marathon. So, I would say it was closer to September. So pretty deep into the mileage and the training at that point.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you kind of answered my next question, was just like, did you have any thoughts of DNFing? But I think when you have a charity or something bigger than just the race, it kind of takes that out of the cards, I would imagine.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't just about me. It was fun to make it like that, you know, cause running races does really put a focus on ourselves. And so to make it not just about me, I think was important for that first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, cool. So what was it like getting the announcement that, hey, this in-person race that you've been planning for the past 20 weeks is now going to be something virtual?
I think it was a bummer, but since we had already done the half, it was like, okay, let's do it. It was kind of fun to map it out I had a one other friend in town that was going to run the marathon as well. So it was fun to map it out for us and try to figure out some of those things and when we wanted to start. And it was kind of fun to work on those details. You know, it wasn't ideal, but it wasn't soul crushing. So that's good.
Yeah, keep it positive. You have to, otherwise it's 26 miles and it's going to be miserable. So that's good to be positive for sure.
Yeah, I think that it was, since I had never run a marathon before, I think that my like not knowing how difficult it was going to be really helped, you know?
Yeah.
So I was able to stay positive through those things. I understand. I'm sure that there were so many people that were very upset and were really bummed out to not have that experience. But I was like, yeah, let's just go run a marathon, you know, kind of naive about what was about to happen.
For sure. Like you said, that probably helped a little bit in the beginning. Just take some of the pressure off. Did you guys, when you were mapping out the run, were you trying to keep it pretty similar to what the actual like race would have been? Or did you switch it up?
No, we switched it up. But I really didn't think about it. we live, you know, in a small town. So the country roads are really, really hilly. So the last 10K was a pretty hilly route. So in hindsight, I would have mapped it out differently.
Sure, sure. Help yourself out a little bit, maybe. Yeah. But cool. So you were running this with a friend. Was there anybody else from the race that were going to kind of do it with you, or you two were just planning on doing this thing on your own for the most part?
Yeah, it was just the two of us. I think that there might have been others that were doing a half again that day. And we had friends and family come out at the end. So that was awesome. Cool. You know, we had that kind of support, and we saw them probably like around the halfway and stuff. So there were other people out there cheering for us, which was awesome.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I can imagine like a 26.2 miles without any aid stations is pretty tricky. So how did you guys plan for like fuel and water stops and things like that?
Yeah. So we had, that's another thing, you know, as far as first getting into running and figuring out all of those puzzle pieces, I had no idea what I was doing. But I had trained a lot with a hydration vest, so ended up wearing that and taking a bunch of goo and, you know, other snacks with me. And then when we did see friends and family at one point, they had, extra hydration and electrolytes and that sort of stuff for us. So, but mostly we were carrying our own stuff.
Cool. I love that experience. It's like that. I haven't heard anything like that. That's unique that you guys got to plan your own route, plan your own fuel. Like it was your race pretty much, which is just pretty cool.
Yeah.
What was the actual race experience for you? Like, I guess we usually break it down into a couple different parts. So like, what was the first 10 to 13 like for you guys?
Yeah. So we started out, I feel like it was still dark when we started out. It was nice and cool. And it went really well. It was pretty smooth. And I was feeling pretty good. And we didn't have plans to stick with each other the whole time. So probably a little bit before the halfway, like we were pretty chill for the first maybe 6-7 miles. And then I kind of took off. Again, not sure if that was the smartest thing to do, but that's what I did. Yeah. Yep.
So for first 10 to the half marathon point, you were feeling pretty good. Were there any miles from like maybe the half marathon point on where you started to really hit the wall? I know you said you had hit some hills at the end, but anything before that?
Yeah. Yeah. So then probably after the halfway point, my fuel just wasn't going well. You know, the goo just started to taste really sweet. I think I had banana chips, and it was just all of that sweetness. And then, you know, kind of getting sticky from the goo packs, you know, you're running and trying to eat them, and just that discomfort and just feeling like I was covered in sugar. And it was just, the fueling went downhill pretty quickly after the halfway point.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep. Sure. And then, and what you said, your family was kind of sprinkled throughout. Like, what do you remember? What miles that they were at?
Yeah. So, well, my family ended up being just at the finish, but okay. We had running friends that were at the halfway point. And then, so when my fuel started to fail me, was like on an out and back on a trail, on a rail trail here. So, so we got to see them. Like they were planted kind of at the start of that out and back. So we got to see them when we started out and back, saw them again afterward. So that was probably, the halfway point, and then another 3 or so miles later. And then we had our loop at the end. So, and then they drove out for part of that just to say hi again and witness how truly miserable I was by the time I got to those hills. And, you know, it had warmed up and it was sunnier. And I was really riding the struggle bus at that point. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what was going through your head at that point? Because I can imagine if it was me and I was by myself, I had planned this myself, like all of this was on me, I'd be like, what in the world am I doing to myself today? So like, what was going through your head?
I think one of my goals was to not walk, which I think, you know, in hindsight is like not a great idea. I wouldn't tell somebody to make that their goal of a first half or first marathon, because you just never know what's going to happen. So anyway, there were stretches where I just had to walk. And so, yeah, I think like some of the disappointment started to settle in of like, that wasn't my goal, or I thought I didn't like, not I thought this was going to be easier, but almost, you know, like I didn't know how hard this was going to be. And, but I knew that my husband and I have three boys. I knew that they were going to be at the finish line and I knew what time they were going to be there. So I was like, okay, it turned into, okay, you can walk for a little while and then let's run, you know, and, just trying to keep moving forward as best as I could, because I wanted to get back to them.
Yeah. That's good that they were at the finish line. So you had something to look forward to there.
Yes.
And I should have asked this in the beginning, but did you have a specific time goal that you were shooting for? Or was it more, this is my first one, I'm just looking to complete this thing?
Yeah, I think I wanted to come in around 3:35.
Okay. Yeah,
so I had expectations.
It's a pretty aggressive first pretty marathon aggressive. Goal. But I love that you were shooting high for sure. What ended up happening? So obviously there's no like finish line per se, but like, did you get to feel that same sort of feeling of like accomplishment of crossing the finish line at the end with it being virtual?
Oh yeah, I think so. I started crying at the finish line because it was just like, I'm so happy that I did it. I'm so happy it's over. I'm so happy my family's here. Yeah. So I think the accomplishment still felt pretty big.
Good. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. That's something I always worried about in like the COVID years. I wasn't really into running in it during 2020, but I know so many people put so much work into training and then their race just ended up getting canceled. And I know some people ran it virtual like you. I always just wondered, like, do you still get that same feeling at the end when there's not the crowd around you and everything like that? Right. But it sounds like you had your own version of it at least.
Yeah, it was good. I will say that after that, I was done with virtual races. I was
sure.
Like, yeah, I was ready for the real thing after that, for sure.
Yeah, the crowd support, there's just nothing like it. I think that's why we all get so addicted to the actual races.
Right.
But cool that you got your first one out of the way in kind of your own unique way and still got to run it in a timeline that you wanted to.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking from there? Were you ready to sign up for marathon number two, or were you planning on taking some time off? Like, what happened from there?
Yeah, I think after that I took some time off and I was ready for that for the most part. And I think it's always hard to take time off in that, especially again, I think for a newer runner, I was like, well, I built up all this fitness. If I take time off, what happens, you know? So hard to find that balance and be comfortable in the recovery. But I don't think I signed up for anything until after the new year. So the following year, I wanted to try some triathlons. And so I did a couple of sprint triathlons, and ended up doing, a marathon again that year as well, the next year. But I wasn't like jumping into things. It was more,
sure.
I'm trying to think of when racing came back. Do you remember in 2021? Is that when racing came back?
I think so. Yeah. It was like beginning of 2021 was still a little shaky, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think it was like middle of the year.
Right. So I don't know when I decided, cause then I did do the Eau Claire marathon and I don't know if I decided to do when that all happened. Yeah. Because we just didn't know when races were coming back. So.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So found a couple of triathlons to do in the meantime. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you always been like in the swimming biking world and that was just a natural progression or that was all new for you?
Yeah, I swam in high school. And just, you know, I grew up on the water or swimming at the pool or whatever. So I've just stuck with it my whole life. So that part of it is pretty natural. And the biking is just, you know, kind of felt like something I had to do to just do the triathlons.
Sure.
So it's fun. I think it's fun to bike, but I don't love it. So I did those two sprint triathlons and they were super fun. But by the time I got to the run, like that was my favorite part. I was so pumped to get to the run. And so I haven't done any triathlons since then because I just know that I'm in it for the run. So I'm like, well, I'll just focus on the running. And so I swim just to swim and enjoy it for cross training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've said that a couple of times that running, just like it's always been something that you come back to or that you love. Like, what is it about running that puts it at the top for you?
So I think that a big part of it is I really enjoy setting a goal and kind of mapping out how to complete that goal or how to, achieve that goal. And working towards that and just the sense of accomplishment, overall big picture, but like day to day, as far as getting out and going for a run, it's my time to myself. I have no responsibilities when I'm out on the road, so it's really satisfying to just kind of take a break and not worry about anything, but the miles ahead of me is really just nice and cathartic, I think.
Yeah, very, it's very meditative. A lot of people say they use it for processing things and things like that. So yeah, I think that's great. Well, cool. So then marathon number two, once you got it on the calendar, what were you thinking you were going to maybe do different for training the second time around than you did the first time around?
So I ended up getting a coach
Oh,
because
cool.
because of the triathlon training. I knew I wanted to do the triathlons and the marathon, and I didn't know how to balance it all. So I hired a coach and he was super helpful, and that was really nice to kind of hand my training over to somebody else for a little while, especially again with the balancing the triathlon work. So yeah, I just did what he told me to do. That's kind of how that went, which was nice.
How different was the coaching plan from the plan that you got from the book?
Yeah, so he coached based on time. So my runs were all time based. The speed work was time based, and he actually set paces for me. So he slowed me down on my recovery runs and easy runs. I was probably had been running all of those too fast, and so that was awesome because I with him, I had run more mileage than I ever had before, but my body felt really strong instead of feeling like, with the other buildup, I just felt like pretty, I don't want to say weak because I felt like a strong runner, but I felt kind of fragile. Or like, it was, I needed to just be careful, And so with him slowing me down, I think that that just really allowed my body to actually recover in between those harder efforts. So that was I think a game changer.
Yeah, that's great. That's something that I a lot of people bring up with coaching is like being able to take a little bit of thought out of it, like trust putting your trust in somebody else to create the plan for you and do what's best for you so that you can just focus on the effort and making sure that you're checking the boxes off the calendar. So no, that's awesome. So training for your second one, did you have similar goals for your second marathon or did you have different time goals for the second one?
Yeah, I had bigger time goals for the second one. I was like, the first one didn't go as planned. Let's go harder. So yeah, my second one, I wanted to go for a 3:15. And I was running at paces that, put me, it wasn't an unrealistic goal. But I, there's just so many puzzle pieces to fit together for the marathon, and it was going to be my second one. And again, a lot of lessons learned in that one, about that.
So ramped up the mileage, or I'm sorry, ra ramped up the goals. You were being pretty aggressive with the time goals the second time around too. How much time did you give yourself to train that second time around?
I had started working with my coach probably in the spring, and then the marathon was in end of September. So I had been
Cool.
working with him all summer.
Cool. Cool. So give yourself plenty of time. I guess similar question to the first your first marathon. Do you remember if there were any like particularly high points where you're feeling like I'm gonna knock this out, no problem, I'm doing great. And then flip side, was there anywhere where you maybe hit a wall or you were frustrated through training, anything like that?
Yeah, I had a long run that I kind of hit the wall like in that long run, and that was just, maybe like 4 or 5 weeks before the marathon, and that was really disheartening to feel like I hit the wall. in a training run, no less, you know. So just trying to navigate that. And I feel fortunate that I was working with a coach because he was able to adjust things for me. Whereas, and then things turned around, you know, whereas, if that would have happened and it was just me doing it on my own, I think it would have been tough to figure out how to navigate that. So yeah, that run stands out in that training buildup.
Yeah. And something like that, I'm curious, like your experience with a coach, like what kinds of adjustments did he make that made you feel a little bit better about it versus if you were going through that experience by yourself?
Yeah, he pulled back on the training quite a bit for probably a week, and then just to allow me some recovery. And then the second week after that was feeling way better. So just I think needed some added recovery. Whereas again, if I was doing it on my own, I probably would have felt like I can't pull back on the training, especially not at this time into the plan. And yeah, I think that was helpful to have him there to say, let's just pull it back for a week and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Like almost give you permission. Like it's okay. Yeah. There's two people in this relationship. I'm telling you, you know, it's fine. Takes a little bit of the pressure off of yourself, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. And then leading up to race day, do you typically like a 2-week taper, 1-week taper? What do you typically do for taper period?
I can't remember exactly what I did for that. I want to say 2-week, but maybe it was 3-week. Mm-hmm. Any of the plans that I did on my own was probably 2 weeks up until this last one with grandma's. I did a 3-week taper.
Okay, cool. So 2 to 3 weeks of a taper period. And how were you feeling leading up to the second one? Feeling pretty confident or had any like doubts or anything like that?
I think that I was a little of both. I was feeling really confident. But I also remember thinking, like, I would tell people, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I want to do. And thinking in my mind, but I'm not sure if I can do that. You know, there was that doubt there. And I think that can be really, really difficult to work with.
Sure. Yeah. How do you kind of pull yourself out of those mindsets? Or doubt, I think, is always going to creep in towards race day. But so maybe pulling yourself out of that mindset is the wrong way to put it. But like, what do you say to yourself, or what do you keep in mind to kind of like push yourself to the start line?
Mm-hmm. I think, since then I've raced a lot more, and the experience has really helped as far as the confidence goes. I know how to, reframe things a little bit or look for motivation. You know, it as simple as like looking up motivational quotes and seeing what speaks to me personally. And I know that kind of sounds like silly, but friends and family can tell you as much as they want that they believe in you and they know you can do it, and they know that you're going to be great. But it really doesn't matter. Like, we have to really believe it ourselves. So just finding, inspirational people, inspirational quotes that actually speak to me, I think is a game changer.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's something's going to resonate different with everybody. So finding what really speaks to you. I love that a lot. Yep. And then race day, what was the second marathon experience like for you?
Yeah, I was pumped because it was my first, you know, real marathon. I was super excited. And it was the Eau Claire Marathon. Their race weekend is just so much fun. I love Eau Claire. So all of that, I was just excited to be there. I had lived in Eau Claire for a couple of years. So I'm excited to be back, excited to have a real race, excited to just go for it. The weather was great. Yeah, it was really fun to experience the start line.
Yeah. Yeah. The energy, I'm sure, was great. You had more people around you, obviously, this time around, which helps.
Yeah.
And then same thing as the first one. Like, what was the first half like for you?
Yeah, it was great. I was flying. So
That's such a good feeling.
Yeah, I went for it. I had, you know, it was kind of chilly that morning, but I had, and I was wearing shorts. And I remember thinking, you know, when I started, I was like, my thighs feel like a little bit tight, but that's fine. I'll warm up. That won't be an issue.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just went for it. So I was probably in the top five women for the first half of the marathon and was pumped. I was pumped to be up there. But I'm not sure if you've run Eau Claire before. Mm-hmm. But there's a little out and back on a gravel road. And yeah, things started to kind of get shaky around there. So, started to fall back a little bit.
Okay. And what mile is that? Do you hit that point?
I want to say that's right around the halfway point.
Okay.
So that's when it was like, you know, that was my first time running that course. So I hadn't been on that out and back before. I knew it was there. But I didn't know it started to turn into, okay, when do we get to turn around? You know, then there was the mindset shift around there. And, yeah. And I think again of an issue of fueling properly, all right there, that halfway point.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Were you feeling like cramping or what was the indicator that you were under fueling?
Yeah. So I think my quads, you know, the issue that I thought wasn't going to be an issue, they're getting worse. And then I think my fueling just wasn't sitting right and I didn't stay on top of it. I stopped fueling. So it was a huge mistake.
Yeah. So you're feeling like you're slowing down a little bit, but overall you were still like, obviously you were still running, you weren't walking or anything like that. So did you kind of, people say ABC goals, were you kind of thinking like B goal at that point, or were you still like, I'm going to make up the time here and see if I can hit my original goal?
Yeah, I was probably shifting to B and C goals at that point. After that, there's a pretty big hill and then a quiet stretch of road out past the airport, and which is fine. Yeah, I run in a rural area, so that really wasn't much of a concern to me. But I knew my legs weren't happy. And so then by mile 18, it was a huge struggle. So, and I knew I had a ways to go. So that was not ideal.
Yeah, not the best feeling when you look down and you're feeling like you're on mile 25, but your watch says 18. It's never a good feeling.
Yeah.
So from there, was it just like pushing yourself through? You're kind of like dragging yourself through the thing, or did you end up getting over that hump and then finishing?
So I think it just started to turn into just get to the next mile marker, get to the next mile marker. And then, yeah, toward the end, you know, they have wonderful crowd support. It's awesome. And there's an area where the half marathoners meet up with the marathoners. And so there's a lot more people and it is more fun. But I think between the muscle cramping and my lack of fueling, I wasn't really able to enjoy much of that. And I just remember they have the Blue Gold Mile, which is where the university students all hang out and the band plays and stuff. And I just did not care at all that they were there. You know, I just couldn't get to a point where I was enjoying it. Really. It was just keep moving forward and try to get through this. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So heavy in the pain cave at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then second time around, so you got your actual finish line the second time around where you got all the crowd support, everything like that. But this time being like that you were so tired and that you were like having some issues with your quads and things like that. Did you get to feel the energy and everything the second time around?
So I don't really remember, to be honest. I think it was just like I just wanted to get there. And I was starting to get lightheaded around mile 25. And so I was just, you know, I was a little worried and just really wanted to just finish the race. Feeling a little bit, feeling disappointed. You know, I just, again, had high expectations of myself and was disappointed that it wasn't going that way.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. So second marathon under your belt, and hopefully you took some time to recover that evening and everything and get every all of the ailments that you were experiencing kind of under wraps. But once you were feeling like a little bit better, you had a little bit more mental clarity, like what were you able to reflect on from that race?
Yeah, I think that that race taught me a lot. I knew that I went out too fast. I knew that I didn't fuel the way that I needed to. So that was a really big takeaway for me, was the fueling part of it, and trying to get that right the next time.
Yeah. Fueling is it's crazy. It's a little different on each one, and it's tough to dial in. It takes a lot of trial and error, a lot of practice. I think that's something we've talked about on this podcast before, is just making sure that you're trying a lot of different options and trying like a lot of different strategies on different distance runs when you're in training. So, but fuel is
Absolutely.
just always going to be one of those things that's tricky.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, and I think that part of it was I was fueling on my long runs and testing things on my long runs, but I wasn't testing it at harder efforts. So then when it got to race day and I'm running at a harder effort, the fuel was just sitting differently. And yeah, it was just totally different.
And then I guess to skip ahead just a little bit, I'm curious how that changed for your third marathon. Like what did knowing that fuel was probably your, I get, correct me if I'm wrong, but like one of your bigger issues for your second marathon, how did you make those adjustments training for your third marathon?
So I tried new things. I tried different things. I really found I ended up using spring energy gel, which I don't know if you've been following the drama around that, but I loved their awesome sauce and through that training buildup. So I used that quite a bit, and that was the fuel that I chose for that race. And I wrote out my training or my fueling plan for that race. So, and my goal for that race was to stick to the fueling plan. Like that ended up being my A goal, and so it wasn't so much a pace goal as my A goal. I think that that shift happened there too, of making a process goal my A goal instead of a pace or time goal my A goal. So,
I like that. I haven't heard that as much, like having your main goal being something that's more process related. How did that change like the overall training experience and race day experience the third time around?
So as far as training goes, I think I just kind of made me take fueling a lot more seriously. So I well the fueling is like a huge topic for me. It has changed a lot over all of these marathon buildups. So I'll say the on the run fueling, it made me get really serious about that fueling. So that was helpful. And to just find something other than goo, because I like goo in certain settings. But the switch to awesome sauce for me worked really well, at least for training. So yeah.
So it ended up benefiting you in a couple of different ways for sure. And then for your third marathon, like how were you able to stick to the strategy, able to hit that A goal for your third marathon?
So my third marathon was Whistle Stop, up in Ashland. And so another great learning experience. So I was able to stick with my fueling, which was awesome, and I was so excited that I did that. However, the fueling did not work for me. It wasn't it. I don't know. I think it was by mile 18, I found myself lightheaded again. Not enough calories. I started to take the on fuel or the on course fueling at that point, because I knew something was off.
So pivoted to kind of relying on the aid stations a little bit more. And for that one, you said that like mile 18, so I guess kind of towards the end, you started to feel a little off. Like looking back on that experience now, what do you wish you would have done different, if anything?
Yeah. So it was also snowing that day, like
Oh, jeez.
snow slush comp like combination. So, and it's on an ATV UTV trail up there. So the conditions were not awesome. And I don't think I didn't not have a time goal, you know? So I think that I should have adjusted for the weather. I think I could have slowed down. And that's probably the only thing, you know, in hindsight, there's other things that I would change, but I didn't know. Like, I nailed my fueling strategy. So I was really proud of that. I was really proud of my where I was mentally, that I wasn't getting down on myself. I wasn't disappointed in myself for the way that things were going. I was, you know, I stayed really positive in moving forward. So there's not a lot that I would change other than going out too fast. I wish I would have slowed down to start. But I didn't know that the fueling wouldn't, I didn't know the fueling wasn't going to work until I tried it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, we can sit here and like compare every single marathon that you've ran, but the reality I think is every single one's going to be a little bit different. Like your first one was virtual, your second one was the race that you were supposed to run, and your third one it's snowing. It's like the race is, day is always going to throw something at you to switch things up. Well, cool. And then your fourth one was pretty recent, so this one's probably the most top of mind for you. It's Grandma's Marathon, a couple of weeks ago. So what was, I mean, we can, like I said, compare the three, but what was different about Grandma's for your fourth time around?
Yeah, I am just so happy with how things went from my training block through race day. It was like the marathon that I've been hoping for the last 5 years. Yeah, my as far as training goes, I did a lot more strength training this time around. And really focused on like rest and recovery, not just the mileage. We can get really caught up in, you know, what was my weekly mileage and that sort of thing. And not that that wasn't a focus, but my focus was, you know, how am I recovering? Am I able to sustain what I'm doing? And then race day, the weather was awesome for running, not so much for spectating. It was about 55 degrees the entire race. And it was raining, so not awesome for the spectators, but we had a tailwind of like 12 to 14 miles an hour. So that was awesome. But my fueling just went so well. So yeah, just fueling every half hour. I had a friend who was insistent on handing me water bottles of my Tailwind, you know, for electrolytes. And that was huge. That was really a game changer for me because I had been training with my hydration vest and I was prepared to run with it. But being able to run a lot lighter without the training vest or the hydration vest was really, really huge. But I think, you know, if I wouldn't have had the opportunity to have those water bottles and the extra calories and electrolytes, you know, it could have gone a lot differently. So yeah, it was a good day.
That's great. And then did you have, I'm assuming you had a time goal going into this one. Were you able to like hit all of your goals the fourth time around?
Yeah, so I wanted about like a 3:15-ish. I was like anywhere between a 3:10 to 3:20, I'd be happy. And then, you know, one of my goals was like, oh, anything under a 3:35 would be a PR. That would be cool. You know, as far as paces and timing went, but it was really important to me to have a smart race, like, and fuel well. So those were really high on my priority. And because I felt like if I could do that, then I could execute a pace that I was happy with, you know? So it wasn't just hitting the paces, it was doing the things that my body needed to support the race that I wanted.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's like the pace will come with it if these things go the way that you plan them to go. And I think that's a great point for beginner runners too, who are maybe thinking about running their first marathon or maybe running their second marathon. It's like it doesn't always have to be a PR. That can be like a secondary goal as a result of your first goal.
Right. And I think you'll learn a lot about yourself and running and your body if you allow the wiggle room to not just fixate on paces, but fixate on, oh, how does my body feel in this temperature? Or what do I need to get me through this workout instead of just focusing on paces?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for walking through all four of those experiences. I'm glad that you finally got like your redemption run at the end, that you've all the puzzle pieces finally aligned and you were able to run the race that you were hoping for.
It was awesome. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking back on the whole thing, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, newer runners that listen to this podcast. So like, if you could give any advice to somebody who's thinking about signing up for their first marathon, based on your experience, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say like, if that's something that sets your heart on fire, then just go for it. It is big and scary, but it's worth the work, you know, if it is something that you feel passionate about. And then, yeah, focusing on some of the process goals and taking time to think about things in the race or things in the training that will make you happy outside of the paces. Fixating on the paces, it just can really suck the joy out of it. So just focusing on other things that make you happy outside of that.
Yeah, that's great. I like that a lot. And then I know that you're a coach now as well. And that's something you mentioned before we started filming, that that's something you picked up over the last year. So how have things changed for you as a runner now that you're also coaching other runners?
Yeah, I think it's super fun to help other people, you know, work toward their goals. It's kind of fun to take the focus off of myself and think about, you know, what other people are doing and shooting for. So yeah, I think it makes me a little bit more intentional about practicing what I preach. So, because I have runners that, you know, follow me on Strava or they see my, you know, Instagram account and things like that. So I really do. I'm a very strong believer in rest and recovery and finding the right balance. And so, like I said, I'm having a hard time with the rest part of this marathon. And the recovery part, I want to keep running. So just knowing that I have some extra eyes on me too, I think is kind of nice as far as training or changing my training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what do you feel like you've like, I guess, learned from being a coach from other people that you might not have learned had you like not gotten into coaching, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think that, everybody starts at a different place, you know, as far as abilities go. And I think that really emphasizing or teaching people to slow down or, you know, do run walk intervals, things like that is a way of showing people that they're capable of doing this thing. You know, a lot of times they're like, you know, they're just so... We as adults can be unsure of what we're capable of. But if you slow it down for them and say, I just want you to try it this way, they're usually surprised and they're like, oh, well, I can do this. It's like, yes, you can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So breaking it down a little bit into like more manageable pieces. And you said everybody starts at a different spot. So like being adaptable too, it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, like as adults, this is difficult, you know, to do the training, to do all of the work. It's not like when, you know, if you're a high school athlete and you have a coach telling you what to do, you have a team and it's fun. There's a social aspect. As adults, we log a lot of solo miles. So I think, yeah, just kind of remembering that as well, that that it's not easy. And so how can I support them and get them to stay, you know, not kind of get down on themselves when it does get hard, like mentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've had enough experience that you know what it's like to get down on yourself for sure. Mentally. I think the longer you're a runner, you end up, you know, just in those situations pretty naturally. So,
yeah.
No, I think that's all great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, last couple of questions I have for you are just more, more just like survey type questions I like to ask at the end about fuel and shoes and things like that.
Yeah.
I always give the disclaimer. I'll never stop giving the disclaimer, even though I say it every time, that this is your individual journey, and everything that we say here doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody. Always do trial and error. Always, you know, get your feet measured, trust yourself. But for you personally, what are your favorite fuel options now that you really love?
Yeah. I love Tailwind as far as hydration and electrolytes. I started using that last summer and haven't stopped. I love it for replenishing electrolytes and summer training. And yeah, so Tailwind, and then Huma Plus has been my go-to gel. I haven't used much other than Huma. Yeah, that's probably my favorite right now.
Yeah, I just started using Huma, and I like that one too. The texture is a little bit better than some of the other stuff that I've tried. It's chia seed or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 I think that throws some people off.
Yeah.
but yeah, again, everybody is, you know, has their own opinion of all the gels. So I like that 100%. It's kind of thinner. Yeah. Thinner. It's easier to take down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then shoes. What have you liked for shoes over time?
Yeah, so I've been running most of my runs in Mizuno Wave Inspires, and then my races, I've been racing in Saucony Endorphins.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I think you're the first person to mention Mizuno. I used to play softball, and Mizuno was a huge softball brand, but yeah. I feel like I haven't heard it as much in running, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I would alternate between them and some ASICs, but I've been grabbing the Mizunos more often.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, sweet. Well, what's I guess my last question for you is just what's coming up next for you? Do you have anything that I know you just are coming off grandma, so you might not even be thinking there yet? But do you have any races that you're eyeballing right now, or anything on the calendar you're training for?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. So part of me wants to, you know, maybe sign up for a half and see what I can do there. And then another part of me is like, well, what is the ultra world like? But that's a huge undertaking. So, but I love road races in the summer. So I'm probably, I don't know if you've heard of the Run Stillwater series, but I love the races that they offer. So I've been eyeing up a couple of those for August and September.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to keep track of you. And if anybody wants to follow along with your journey and see what's coming up next, where can they find you?
Yeah. On Instagram, I'm at Brightside Running. And then I do have a Facebook page also called Brightside Running. Those are the two best places.
Great. And I'll link them in the show notes so everybody can follow along with you too. But thank you again for walking through everything. That was awesome to hear, like, how your running has transitioned from your first virtual race all the way up to the Grandma's Marathon, where you were able to hit some goals. So just thank you again.
No, thanks for having me. It's nice to, I like to share all the crash and burn stories that got me to the marathon that I really loved. So anytime.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying MFM, it would mean a lot to me if you could rate and review this episode wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know anyone training right now, I'd love if you shared it with them too. See you on the next one.